On today's Technobabble, the 7 camera types and their uses.
This is Tech No Babble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Hi everyone, my name is Paul Allen Clifford and I am your host here on Technobabble, and I'd love for you to join the conversation. So head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. Head over there and you can leave a comment, you can just contact me in general, or you'll find all my contact information like my email address, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. Or my phone number, 1-877-POD-ECHO, 1-877-763-3246. Or you'll also as well find my Twitter handle, which if you're watching the video, that's located underneath my face here, Paul Allen Clip, spelled the shortest possible way, PaulAlanClif. So I would love for you to leave me any questions, comments, even snide remarks, although no guarantee if you leave snide remarks that I'll respond. But I am curious what you think about the show, how I can improve, etc. So I would love for you to contact me there. Also, let's talk about just a couple of things. First off, there's my pastor's book. Now, this is still available for pre-order as I'm recording this on April 10th. That means that the price is still low. It will not always be low. So what you want to do is you want to head over to Amazon.com and search for it and pre-order it right now. When it comes out at the beginning of next month, first couple of days of next month, I believe, they will charge your card and send it to you. If you just want to make it easy, head over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/whatlifebook or trinitydigitalmedia.com/whatlife, and that should take you there too, and that will enable you to pre-order it at the discounted rate now. Now, I think that this is going to be a bestseller in the Christian category, so I would expect that you're going to hear more and more about this as my pastor is doing things out and about. It is forwarded by Bill Hybels, so this isn't just, hey, I threw something together in a weekend kind of book, and it's published by Tyndale House. So again, it's a decent book. It's not something that you get for free when you enter someone's email address. So that's what I want you to know about it. It's not a quote-unquote ebook, which is two paragraphs long. It is a substantial work. So it's something that I really believe that most people need to know about. Also, the churchtechcast.com's podcasts and live streaming shows are supported by viewers like you. Thanks to everyone who has supported so far. I actually had a dream last night that I had 15 times the people supporting the show that I do currently, and that would be so great if more people would hop in. We're talking about cameras today, and I'm looking at a couple of cameras that I don't, frankly, have the money for, but it would be great if we could band together as a community and just help support the idea of top-quality live streaming and pre-recorded church tech training. And I see it as possible. I see it as possible that we could have this network available as a resource to churches all over the world. And that's really my dream. So head over to patreon.com/PaulAllenClif, patreon.com/PaulAllenClif, PaulAllenClif. And you can support the show for as little as just $1 a month. If everyone that engaged with me on a weekly basis supported the show with that just $1, then I could set up a full studio and do this right and bring in other experts on other things that I'm not as good at. So if you think, man, I wish Paul did more on lighting or more on sound or more on IT, I've got people in mind. I just can't bring them in right now. So that's something that is coming down the pipe if everything starts working well. So, without further ado, let's hop into the subject. I was thinking, because I get this question quite a lot, hey, I need a camera for under some amount of money. Usually it's that. What do you recommend? And that's actually the wrong question. The right question is, I want to do thus and so with my camera. Which camera should I buy? And then, this is my budget. You see how that works? So, let's talk about the seven types of cameras that you could buy and what the pros, cons, and uses of each of these types of cameras are. So, the first is IP cameras. IP cameras, they're are cameras that you attach to your computer network. And the pro is that they are available pretty much anywhere. So you can plug an IP camera in and you can access that from home, from across the world, etc. The con is latency. Things are not going to be instantaneous from when you have the video showing up on your network to back to the original event. There is some degree of time separation. So just as I'm showing this to you and you can watch it on the internet, you are not seeing this as it happens. You're seeing it slightly delayed. And that's because this is basically an IP camera stream once I do all the processing and everything to it. So what that means is, like when I pull it up in the web browser, there is a delay of 1 or 2 seconds. Now, that's negligible. But if you had an IP camera in your sanctuary and you were trying to use it for IMAG, 1 or 2 seconds is remarkably a long time. It would show the pastor stage right when he's already moved stage left. You see how that's a problem? Yeah. So IP cameras, they have their place, but they just are used for security or for streaming or something where you're not in immediate proximity. Next, speaking of security, security cameras. Now, I've heard a lot of churches say, well, we don't have much of a budget, so we're thinking about using security cameras. Okay, security cameras are meant for security, so they may or may not be full frame rate. That would be a problem if you're trying to use them for IMAG or for streaming or for production of any sort. They might not be full resolution. In fact, up until recently, when they had standard definition cameras and standard definition for broadcast, it was not unusual to find a security camera that was half of that. Actually, a quarter, because it's half in both directions. So you'd have a 320 by 240 security camera, perhaps even in black and white. So quality can be an issue, but they're very inexpensive. You can pick up a security camera sometimes for $5 or $10. I mean, very inexpensive. But quality sometimes suffers, so you have to look into all the features and everything with it. One thing that you will definitely not have is control to the extent that you would have it with a production camera or an ENG camera, which we'll talk about those later. You might be able to pan with them. You might be able to change the brightness of the image. You might even get night mode. But you won't have as fine a control as you probably actually need for most church purposes. Third is DSLRs. Now, you might know that I have and love a Canon T3i. It's a great little camera, and it does some great stuff for me. Generally speaking, they're inexpensive. Now, it's all relative. Compared to a security camera, it's super expensive at several hundred dollars. Compared to a broadcast studio camera, it's super cheap because it's only a few hundred dollars. So it's all how you look at it, I suppose. But the beauty of a DSLR video shot is just unrivaled. And so I really, really love that idea of having a DSLR video when I'm shooting like video segments, things where each shot is it's shot more like a film. And if I was shooting something like a film and I didn't have a lot of money, a DSLR would be a great way to go. Now, here are the cons to the DSLR. While you have control out the yin-yang, while it's fairly inexpensive, while you can change out the lenses, while the media is fairly inexpensive, the downside is the audio on them tends to be bad in one way or another. My T3i, for example, has horrible preamps. So if you feed it a good hot signal, it's fine. But if you plug a mic directly in order to get any kind of signal whatsoever, you have to boost the gain and you get a very high noise floor. So there's a constant, which is really annoying. So that's really the con of it, along with recording duration. Now, some DSLRs don't have this as a problem. Some Panasonics, for example, either they don't have it or you can get past it. But the normal duration is 12 minutes. So if you're recording what's going on at church, that could be a problem if your service is longer than 12 minutes, which most are. So they'll just stop recording, and then you need to start recording again. So that's a bit of an issue, which is why we shift on down the list to the ENG cam. Actually, let me back up and let me put one of the later ones in the list right before ENG. So we have consumer cameras, which are what most people use. The plus side is they tend to be camcorders. They tend to be able to record longer durations. The downside is you lose a lot of control, and getting audio into them can be difficult. So I guess in that way, they're kind of like DSLRs, that the audio can be problematic. Now, you can record dual system sound, record audio off onto something like a Zoom H4 and then sync it in post-production, but that's another step. So if you're recording your service with these, you'll be able to record a good long duration. The video won't be as good because their chip size tends to be smaller. So that's less good, but sometimes I think DSLRs and consumer cameras are probably the bare minimum that I'd recommend to any church. Anytime someone says, "Hey, I found a security camera," I shudder. Anytime someone says, "Hey, I found an IP camera," I think, nope, not for church. I mean, you know, if you need it for security purposes, same thing as the security camera, that's something different. But for production on any level, those two, security cameras and IP cameras, you probably need to avoid. You just do. So consumer cameras are pretty good, but they just don't have the control and the ability to ingest good audio that a good ENG camera will have. Now, ENG stands for Electronic News Gathering. So these are more prosumer on up cameras. So they have a lot more features. Now there's going to be a higher learning curve, so that's on the con. They're going to be more expensive than a DSLR. You're probably looking at $1,000+ for each of these. But they're a better choice. It's much more likely that you'll be able to get something like a matching shot with two E&G cameras of the same make and model than you would with two consumer cameras. So that's probably what I would recommend as something to aspire to, even though they're more expensive. It really is worth it to have the ability, because a lot of E&G cameras, they have XLR input, so you can plug a microphone right in. You can plug an output of your soundboard right in. It just makes it so much easier than trying to do adapters and run it a length and, craziness. So an E&G camera is probably one of your better choices. But, again, you're talking at least $1,000, and that really is on the low end. Probably three or four is what you really need to think of when you're looking at an E&G camera, bare minimum, and they make more expensive ones. Production cameras are really, if you're doing IMAG, if you're doing broadcast, if you're doing streaming, those three things, that is what you want. You want those kinds of things to be used. You really, really want the control of a production camera. You want to be able to have two pan bars on your tripod and controls. Focus on one side, zoom on the other. For all your camera operators, you really do. You really want to have the ability to have camera control units so that the camera person doesn't have to shimmy over to the side and put their hand up and adjust the iris. Yeah, you don't want to do that. You want to have that in the abilities of the director or the engineer to deal with. To paint the cameras, to, you know, add a little more green if needed, take away a little blue if necessary, things like that. So that is the plus of a production camera. The minus is they are expensive. In fact, Blackmagic just introduced two production cameras, a $2,000 one and a $3,000 one, and I'm looking at those going, oh, they're so inexpensive, and the video from them looks so great, and you have all the control. And you're probably thinking, if you're in the church, $3,000? That's so expensive. Yeah. Production cameras can run tens of thousands of dollars. I've used $100,000 cameras before. So $3,000 seems cheap. So, do you understand what I'm saying? That, yeah, production cameras, that's their downside. They are not inexpensive things. They are pricey. And there's a reason for that. Do you think television stations just like throwing extra money at equipment? No. If they could get away with it, they'd use a $5 camera, but you can't get the type of quality they're trying to get with a $5 camera. You really need something better. So next, let's talk about pan-tilt cameras. I'm not talking necessarily about a pan-tilt camera support system that you put a regular camera on top of. I'm talking about an all-in-one unit. And the problem I see, well, they're more pricey than like an E&G camera or a DSLR. They may or may not have the level of control that you're looking for. But probably the biggest reason churches go for these is lack of needed space. So the footprint of a pan tilt can be about a square foot, so not very much. The footprint of a camera on a tripod is probably 12 times that. No. It would be 12 feet by 12 feet, probably. So you're looking at about 144 square feet. So that's much greater. But there's a reason for that. A pan tilt has a more robotic camera movement. Now, you don't necessarily need to... You've got a positive in the personnel department that one person can run multiple pan tilts. But while one person can run multiple pan tilts, the movement is robotic. It doesn't smoothly start and smoothly stop. It goes from 0 to 60 immediately. You know, it's just boom. And maybe you can get it more subtle. Depending on the system, you can. You can subtly move it this way and subtly move it that way, depending on the system, but it's still, it lacks that human touch. So that's the con of those. So I didn't talk about special purpose cameras like the GoPro. I didn't talk about web cameras. Those are a couple of other things that you could use, but I think that web cameras tend to fall into the IP video security camera area of, you generally won't want to use them. GoPros are very special purpose. They're not meant for live production. So, and their lenses are iffy for live production. Now, throw that on someone who's skydiving, perfect. But there's not a lot of skydiving inside a church service. There might be some, but there's not as much. So, I think that's just a couple of things for you to consider as you're looking at different kinds of equipment, as you're trying to figure out which to choose, which to buy, as you're trying to use the church's resources as best you can in your quest to go out and change eternity. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.